Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drawing Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
A spider has been here.
Like, is there like a sign?
No, I see like a cobweb in the distance. Oh, I see multiple cobwebs. Oh, no. That's not good.
Okay, wait. I thought there was a difference between a spider web and a cobweb.
I think that's an urban legend. I think a cobweb is just a spider web that's been abandoned.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
I'm going to look this up because I'm pretty sure there's a difference.
I got to clear up these cobwebs. You talk to the audience.
I think a cobweb is a sign that you just have a dusty place. Okay, according to the AI overview that I get, the main difference between cobwebs and spiderwebs is that cobwebs are usually abandoned and dusty, while a spiderweb is clean and in use. Oh, I guess you were right, Austin.
Aren't I always?
I guess a cobweb is an abandoned spiderweb that has become dusty because spiders keep their webs clean.
Aw, how cute for the spiders.
I added that last part. I'm assuming they keep them clean.
I'm assuming the movement over the webs will keep it clean.
So there's no spider, so that means either the spider is long gone or it'll drop onto your head when you least expect it.
That'd probably be the latter, actually. Remember that time a spider fell on me while we were recording the podcast with Tristan and I screamed as loud as possible and like jumped through the air?
That was really... I thought you were literally having like a medical emergency.
Speaking of bugs, how's your week been?
No bugs to be found. How is my week, Ben? I feel like there was something I wanted to talk about, but I've forgotten it somehow. Did I mention on last week's podcast that my work computer completely shat the bed and died and I lost all my work on it?
I don't know if you mentioned it on the podcast, but I've heard about this extensively.
You would also be feeling the pain like I was if you lost literally everything you were working on. And of all the days or times to lose your data, I have an upcoming work conference in which I was working on a presentation and lost it all, so... That was fun and exciting for me, not really.
That's why I save all my work files to the work server, even though they tell me not to, because they say it takes up so much space, and I'm like, I don't care.
Don't listen to them. Everybody, I'm just making this the PSA of the day. If you have not already, either save your important items to a flash drive, or if you have some kind of cloud, OneDrive, Dropbox thing situation, please save your stuff. Back it up, because you never know when your computer might decide to explode.
My work computer took a bath.
Did you scrub-a-dub-dub in the tub or what?
No, I didn't recreate the Pikachu and Ash in the tub meme. But I did.
How does that feel, Pikachu?
Ew, not what I meant. I did put my laptop on my desk, which I had under a skylight, and the skylight leaked. And the water went directly on the laptop. And I was like, that's funny.
That was A, a long time ago, and B, not your fault.
No, it wasn't. That was COVID's fault because I was working from home.
Yeah. How could you know a skylight was going to leak like that?
It had never done it before.
And it never did it after.
No, that's not true. It did do it after.
Oh, shit.
That was the apartment complex that refused to let me leave.
You're stuck here with me.
Basically.
Apartment living, guys. It's just...
It's the worst. They are so fucking rude. There's no one ruder than the renter.
Not the renter. The...
The company that owns apartment complexes, because they're inherently vile people.
You have to be some kind of way. Sorry to all of our potentially landlord listeners out there. If you are a landlord, just remember that the people you're renting to are humans.
No.
With feelings.
No. You're a commodity.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about that.
And, you know, how dare you not be able to make rent? That makes you a bad person.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot I was nothing more than a paycheck. Sorry about that. I should go back and know my place. I know this episode is going to come out after the fact, but I guess the other thing that's been going on is it's Black Friday time.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've kind of hit my spending limit for the month, so I can't really buy anything.
I don't even know what I would buy. I know it's ironic. I was talking to Josh earlier because he's like, oh, is Black Friday like happening? Isn't it on Friday? And I'm like, Josh, where have you been for the past 4 years?
It's like Black Friday month.
Spend, spend, spend. Spend until you can't spend anymore and then die.
All right. So speaking of spending, let's do another live card opening.
Oh, the TCG pocket. Yes. We got to see what the RNGesus gives us.
You hear that background music?
It's so
mystical.
Generic.
Yeah, it is generic. Came from GarageBand, straight from there. A Magmar, a Mawile, a Hitmonchan, a Frozmoth, and I got one new card. It was a Charizard.
Charizard's your new card?
Yep.
Great.
I can see why people make millions of dollars making YouTube videos like that.
That was thrilling, actually.
I know. Oh my god. Oh my god, it's a Charizard. Oh my god. Oh my god. Man, let me make a fool of myself. We make fools of ourselves, but not on purpose, just because we're like that.
You know what it is? It's the energy. You have to bring the energy and excitement and get people energized and excited.
And you know what I'm incapable of doing? Exactly that.
That. Yeah, there we go. That's the problem. The problem is us.
I notoriously cannot get a photo get taken of me because I cannot fake the excitement. Smile! No, fuck you. This is the face you get.
You know what you remind me of when you take a picture? You remind me of the Hide the Pain Howard guy.
Yeah, because I am in pain. I'm like, don't take a picture
of
me.
That's how it looked.
Don't take a picture of me.
Physically in pain.
And apparently I don't look like that when I'm not getting a picture taken of me, right?
Well, no, because
I look normal.
There's no expectation. With the photo, when the camera comes out, there's an expectation.
And then I'm like, ugh, now I'm miserable.
Am I the only one, like, when a camera comes out, I start to sweat? Like, I literally physically start sweating.
No, I leave my physical body.
Oh, okay.
Do not take a picture of me, goddammit.
Can anybody else, like, relate to this, or are we just freaks? I don't know.
I think we're just freaks. But that's why we don't have YouTube channels
Friends.
In which we make tons of money, because we're opening Pokemon cards. Also because we don't have, like, extreme gym bodies.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Austin's not, like, Mr. Olympia, and I'm not Amber Rose or whatever.
Okay, I don't even know who that is.
Some sexy girl.
Some sexy girl.
If you have some sort of picture of us in your minds, listeners, which I'm sure you guys weren't picturing, like, super sexy supermodels, but...
I mean, oh, I know who Amber Rose is. Okay, I recognize her. I mean, I have that horrible nasally voice, and I, like, rush through sentences.
Oh, that's not true. Whenever you laugh, like, genuinely laugh, I'm always like, it's so endearing.
Is it?
It's such a nice laugh. It is. I like it. Take a compliment, why don't you?
You're the one who tells me to edit out all your laughs, and I never do.
Yeah, and I get mad at you for it, because nobody wants to hear...
You don't laugh like that.
We should spin this into something positive. Let's say one positive thing about ourselves. Anyway.
Okay, so... Leave us 5 stars, because we clearly need the boost.
Jesus.
Oh my god, that reminds me. The Apple podcast algorithm is all fucked up.
Okay, that's nothing new.
Okay, but not in the way you think. The animation and manga podcast section has been inundated with what I assume are AI-generated podcasts.
Oh, nice.
Because the images certainly are, like their covers. Here are some of the top Apple podcasts in the animation and manga category. Number 2 is Agatha Christie.
What?
Yeah.
Just her.
Just her stories.
Okay, cool. Oh.
Yep. Number 3 is, get ready for this, number 3 is Tucker Carlson, an audio biography.
Please stop.
Okay, number 6 is also Agatha Christie.
Why is she having, like having a comeback? What's going on?
Number 8 is Jason and Travis Kelce, Football Brothers.
Football Brothers?
Number 11 is, I don't even know who this is, Andrew Huberman, audio biography.
Who is that? I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
What did he do that was noteworthy?
I don't know, but he's not animation or manga, I'll tell you that much. Number 14 is my quote-unquote favorite, Project 2025, Presidential Transition. In Project 2025, oh, by the way, it's a Trump picture, by the way. We take Gross. Listeners behind the scenes of the ambitious and transformative Project 2025, an initiative designed to prepare for the next U.S. presidential transition. This series explores the strategies, people, and policies that shape the peaceful and effective transfer of power in the world's most powerful office.
Lies.
They have 3 episodes, the second of which is What Project 2025 Means to the LGBTQs.
I could say so many things.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep going. Oh, number 25, by the way, is Barack Obama, Great Speeches. So it's just speeches of Barack Obama's. Number 34 is Winston Churchill speeches. Number 35 is the Menendez brothers.
The fuck?
This keeps on going.
I'm sorry, and you said the category was anime and manga.
Yes.
Well, I guess when real life becomes like a fucking TV show, then I guess it makes sense, right?
That, or some sort of algorithm is selecting animation and manga for all their bullshit, and they need to be reported. I mean, the fact is, they're that high ranking, that means they have listeners. Oh, look, Ozempic weight loss unlocked. Okay, the fact is, they have listeners, or they have, like, bots listening that are boosting the ratings. I don't know which one is more scary.
Just assume everybody on the internet is a bot.
Dead internet
theory. We might be bots right now.
So, Out of the Drying Pan is not currently ranking in the charts, so we need you, listeners, to help us fight Project 2025. And the Menendez brothers. And Barack Obama, I guess. And Winston Churchill.
And Agatha Christie.
And the Kelsey brothers. And you need to leave 5 stars in a review.
Yeah, exactly. Do that.
And Agatha Christie, you're right.
Good Lord.
What a disaster.
This is a disaster. Buckle your seatbelts, people. Okay, I'm looking over across the room to my Switch, which is sitting on my TV stand, and there's some weird fading thing going on the blue side, and I can't tell if that's like a weird shadow or if something's really wrong with my Switch, but I'm concerned now.
Maybe it's in the sunlight?
Looks faded. I'm so sad because I literally just bought my Switch and I feel like I have not even gotten any usage out of it, and now they're
what
like,
what do you mean you just bought your Switch? You bought that thing years ago.
Stop it. 2020 doesn't seem like 5 years ago, almost.
You only bought your Switch in 2020?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not a short time ago.
Time is just moving on too quick.
No, you're getting older and you're not getting new experiences, so the perception of time is going faster.
Please don't stop reminding me of my mortality.
Also, we're all gonna die.
But before we die, we have Pokemon to talk about.
That's true. Good point.
Was there anything from last week that we said we were going to circle back? Oh, I do remember. There was one thing. Austin did finish the thing he said he was going to not finish.
Oh, L.A. Noire.
Yay!
What a shit show. What, not worth the years I've been playing that game on and off.
The ironic thing being, Austin hasn't beaten this game. He's played it for years. We literally talk about it. And then, like, the next day, he's like, oh, and by the way, I beat it. I was like, what?
Because you issued a challenge to me to beat it on, I was going to say national radio, but that's not what this is.
National radio.
On a low-rated podcast in the animation and manga category.
Honestly, this is momentous news. I feel like everybody should tell.
I was already almost done. That's why we were even talking about it in the first place.
I know, but you could have easily just put it away and done something else, and I'm proud of you that you finished it. And you said it was underwhelming, so that was kind of anticlimactic, but
I want to finish all my Switch games before the new Switch console comes out, and I need to finish all my PS4 games before I buy a PS5, which will never happen because I'll never have $500 to spare.
Maybe if you win the lottery.
Maybe if people join our Patreon. Just kidding. All money on the Patreon goes to the podcast.
That is true. If you like what we do and want to keep us running here on Out of the Drying Pan, it keeps the lights on at Out of the Drying Pan, Inc. But yeah, no, congratulations, Austin. It has been a long time coming. Super excited for you. Now you can move on to the next thing, which what's your next project going to be?
Ace Attorney Investigations.
Let's all wish Austin good luck.
Oh, regular Agatha Christie up in here.
Actually, you don't really need a lot of luck. Austin's pretty good about getting through stuff.
Well, Ace Attorney games are literally a visual novel. You don't really have to do anything. You just press A.
It's me. When it comes to not doing stuff, that's me. We all know that.
I have plenty of unfinished games. Don't you worry.
I know, but the problem comes when I say I'm going to do it, and then I just, like, don't. Okay. So. That was the exciting news that I remembered.
Do you think we should move on to Pokemon? Why not?
Why not? Why not? And some water episode, too.
Yeah.
Thrown in there.
It's the long-awaited Why Not episode, the one we've been building up to for 3 episodes.
The one that I kept thinking was going to happen sooner than it did, and I kept saying, and then we're at the end, and Austin was like, and no, we're not. So we did actually meet the mysterious Pokemon. Spoiler alert, it's a Why Not. And there's also some random filler thing.
I like the random filler.
Okay.
And of course you don't, of course, it goes without saying.
Why? Why do you say it like that?
Because we never agree on anything when it comes to this inconsequential anime.
Well, since there's only two of us now, I think it works out better for discussion purposes that one of us likes something or doesn't, and the other one has a completely different opinion. So,
well, let's find out who's going to give the 30-second summary for the first episode. Why not?
Flip that coin.
Tails. So I think that means you do 30 seconds?
Yes.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go.
So Ash has earned his 8th badge, finally. Now he can enter the Johto Conference Silver League, whatever. It's a big, long name. They don't know where it is. Luckily, it's happening in 3 months, and not like tomorrow. So they leave Claire's mansion and are interrupted by Team Rocket, who steals Ash's badges. And we're back to that same old bullshit we should talk about. Wobba Fett gets the short end of the stick, but they end up finding the badges, and the day is saved, and they blast Team Rocket off again, except for they're missing the Rising badge, which they could just get from Claire. But they find it in the bush, and they see why not, except for Ash doesn't see it.
Time.
Only the Pokemon do. And it goes away.
So it's a gym badges are stolen episode. We've never had one of those before.
I'm going to stop you before you even start, because this is a crock of shit. And I know we talked about this before. What was the last time when Jessie was dressed up as, she had that veil thing on and she had that weird costume and she was like,
some cultural appropriation kind of shit going on.
Yeah.
They mentioned it in this episode. It was when they were stealing from the Indigo League.
Oh, that's right.
Remember there was that like Atoshi with his Marowak? I don't know how I remember that name.
Wow. Yeah, there was a random guy and he had like the badges in like a lunchbox or something.
He had them in like a burlap sack thing.
Yeah. And we had a whole discussion during that episode about why the Indigo League didn't register them. Like, why do the badges mean anything?
Right. Why can't Claire go to her computer and be like, Ash Ketchum, Pallet Town, entered?
Claire does have a throwaway line somewhere towards the end. She's like, maybe if you report them stolen, you can get them re-registered or sent out to you.
But it's not about that, Alex. It's the sentimentality.
Ash is more sentimental than we are.
Okay, so Ash's argument is, I want those specific badges that I was given by the gym leaders because I'm sentimental like that. I think a better argument would have been, well, this means someone else can enter the league unfairly with badges that they stole. That is something that should not be allowed. So that's why we should get those badges back and they should be accounted for.
Again, that's kind of a flimsy argument too, because you would assume that the badge, like the earning of the badge would be tied to your trainer ID number. So like if you won against Claire, beep, boop, boop, in the computer, it would be Ash Ketchum, Rising Badge. Like, if you're going to enter the competition, wouldn't Jesse have to have a trainer ID card and say, like, here's my ID card with the badges registered to them and my achievements?
Nope. I think the badges are literally just badges. Like, they're like a cheap material, and there's no digital records of anything, because Johto is very low-tech, and it doesn't matter. And you just got to show up there, have 8 badges.
I guess if you're really thinking critically about this, what is the harm if you entered the competition not in a legitimate way? Like you...
Because you committed theft.
Well, it's not even the theft part of it. It's you would get knocked out immediately. If you're not qualified, then you wouldn't get very far in the competition anyway.
We should have a season where Ash just goes around and beats people up and takes their badges.
I mean...
technically, kind of like, that's what he does.
That already. Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, Ash didn't really earn all of the badges legitimately anyway, so...
Other than Price, which one?
Didn't he, like, do some other bullshittery, or did he, like, actually win them all?
There was some bullshittery where he beat Miltank with 3 Pokemon, and that counted as a win.
Maybe I'm still thinking more of, like, Kanto, where he just sort of, like, lucked into stuff, but whatever.
The Price was the most damning one.
Maybe I'm being too hard on Ash.
You being hard on Ash? That's never happened. Are you going to give him the LVP for this episode?
Actually, I don't know yet. I don't know.
Alrighty.
I decided the end anyway.
Alright, so we got some more league logistics to go over first. So Claire is the first person to tell us that, did you know that the Johto League is actually called the Johto League Silver Conference?
I did not know that.
It's in Silver Town, which exists at the foothills of Mount Silver. Okay. And it's 3 months away. And yet you'll never age. Those 3 months, you will not age a fucking day. Isn't that amazing?
I think the more amazing thing is that they didn't have a single clue when, where, what, even this conference. Like, Misty's like, Claire, can you tell us, like, when and where it is? Like, what if she was like, oh, sorry, guys. Like, it was yesterday. Like, what would they fucking done?
They would have waited a year, and it would still only be about 10 episodes until the league.
Instead, it's a nice 3 months away.
These timelines don't make any fucking sense. I still want someone to go through and mark every time they say how much time has passed. No one's ever going to do it because it's too much of a task.
We should have done it starting this. I know. That would have been the perfect opportunity. We did fail. Can I gripe about one other thing?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm in a gripey kind of mood today. Why do they always have the special privilege of, like, having tea and crumpets with the gym leader? They're having a lunch with her, Claire, because why? Why do they get that honor and privilege?
They've known Claire for quite some time now. It's been 5 episodes. They went with Claire to the purification ceremony. They helped her Dratini evolve. They got involved with the Dragon's Den and the Holy Land and the Flaming Bowl and the Fang. And they fought her twice. Charla was there with and Liza, her trainer. A whole bunch of shit has happened.
Okay, all right, you convinced me.
It's not like they were hanging out with Bugsy or Faulkner, but they've known Claire for quite some time at this point.
Who would want to hang out with Faulkner? He'd, like, cut your skin off and, like, wear it as a suit or something.
I don't want to hang out with Bugsy either.
Bugsy's, like, just intense. He's the kind of person that would, like, talk at you and, like, not let you really, like, get a word in.
See, I think hanging out with Chuck would be fun, but then his wife would come in the room and be like, oh, there goes all the energy sucked right out of the room.
She was really insulting. She was like, oh my god, you fat pig, get up off your fat ass and don't eat something. Like,
yeah, and same with Morty. Morty would be chill, and then Eucene would come by and be like, goodbye, Morty. I don't want to hang out with Eucene.
Morty sees things that aren't there, so that would be a little bit unnerving.
That's true. His dead children.
Who, okay, now that we're talking about it, who would be the coolest person to hang out with then?
Of the Johto gym leaders?
Who would be the most tolerable person?
I have a surprising answer.
Who is that?
Whitney.
She's the most normal.
I didn't say she's the most normal.
Get it? Normal.
Ah, now I get it. Anime Whitney is going to take you to Uncle Milton's milk farm and give you every kind of dairy product you've ever imagined in your life. And they say it's like the best dairy product you've ever had. So yeah, I'm going to hang out with Whitney.
Yes. God, you can get free cheese from her Uncle Milton.
Free ice cream, free like all sorts of shit.
It's got to be Whitney, oh, guys. Yeah. There's no contest. Damn. I was going to say like Icy Price, but
no. Whatever. You'll have to like revive a dead animal with Icy Price. No, thank you.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. And you'd have to hang out with Sheila, and she was kind of a buzzkill too. So
yeah, Whitney all the way.
God, you sold me on the ice cream and cheese. Got to go with Whitney.
And like Whitney seemed like not insufferable.
That's true.
She wasn't like crying or whatever bullshit that was.
That's the only choice, because all the other ones. Jasmine seems like she wouldn't really be. You just sit there.
Yeah, we weren't too impressed with Jasmine.
No.
Claire seemed fine.
She's a little intense with her fire burning out of control, Dragonite trying to kill you.
Like. Yeah, but that was the Team Rocket. That was not Claire's fault.
Claire would set you up with, like, some really cool, like, fashion, though. I think she would put in a good word with her tailor, and you can get some really cool outfits.
Oh, yeah, her, like, entourage that she has. Her, like, hired staff.
Yes.
That we created.
No, Whitney seems more, like, chill and normal.
She'll go to the mall with you.
Yeah, more of a relatable person.
So, the Johto League, as we were saying, the logistics are, like, impossibly complicated for no reason. So Ash has to go to New Barktown to register for the Silver Conference, because that's where he registered for the Johto League in the first place. Okay.
Oh my god.
Anything to see Professor Elm again, I guess. What an unnecessary errand. But whatever, we have 3 months. It's not like we got anything going on. Ash doesn't train his Johto team, so who cares? Meanwhile, as we said, Jessie is determined to get those badges. She's going to enter the league this time for sure, goddammit. Now, they are eating what they claim to be donut holes. They were in a plastic bag? I don't know what treat that was, but they were not donut holes.
Dumplings of some sort?
They look like fucking chips to me, but I guess they were something.
You know, honestly, I wasn't paying that close of attention.
Anything just to get the jelly donuts gag going.
I mean, it was kind of cute because they were like, first you ate the donuts, and now you ate the holes.
Yeah, true. But they never eat donuts in the first place.
Well, not visually, but in their hearts.
In their cholesterol and clogged hearts.
Yes.
Of course, Wynut steals the quote-unquote donut holes, and they blame Mob Effet again.
You said Wynut.
Did I really?
Wynut.
Wynut.
Donut? Wynut.
We blame Wobbuffet for Wynut's misdeeds. Okay, was it kind of weird? Did you think as well, maybe Wynut should join Team Rocket and be like their fifth little member?
That would be so cute.
Don't you think that Wobbuffet would fit? Yeah.
And Wynut were like at odds somehow. Honestly, even if they didn't officially have Why Not Join, I really wish they would have continued to, like, have it cause shenanigans and have Wubba Fett continue to, like, take the blame.
Oh, so like a Jigglypuff or a Snubbull and it's following them?
Yes.
Okay, and no one ever sees it but Wubba Fett.
And so, like, Wubba Fett, the whole gag is, like, a Wubba Fett seeing something that's not there and, like...
Oh, like Big Bird in the... What's that thing called?
Snuffleupagus.
Anyway, Jesse and James have a plan. They are from the Pokemon Daily, and they are here to write an article about Ash, who just won 8 gym badges, and they take off his clothes. So they rip off the vest, because at this point, Ash is still keeping his badges in his vest. They hand it off to Meowth, who hands it off to Wubba Fett, and Wubba Fett wanders into the woods with Ash's vest and the badge. Or rather, Meowth takes the badges out of the vest, and Wubba Fett puts them in a box. And then Wubba Fett wanders with the box until he finds a stump that has a flag with Jesse's face on the flag.
I loved that.
He happily is like, it's Jesse! And sits on the little stump and like sings so and is cute. Bobbing his head back and forth. It's so fucking cute.
It's adorable. And he has a little fantasy too. And oh my gosh, he's so precious.
The fantasy of the other Team Rocket members being like, we love you, Wubba Fett.
I know. He's like waiting at the Jesse flag and he gets a little blush on his face because he's thinking of how he'll get so much praise and adoration and finally recognition from the team. Not only does he successfully complete the job, but he also gets them a snack.
Oh, right. He sees cherries and he's like, when he picks these cherries, Team Rocket's going to love him even more.
Not only did you get the badges, but also you have a snack? Oh my gosh.
So Wubba Fett makes a fatal mistake in which he puts all these cherries in the box with the loose badges. And when he puts the box down, Why Not takes the lockbox, trying to get the cherries, not giving a shit about the badges.
No. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking it was going to be like, Why Not eating the badges?
Oh my god.
Somehow.
We learn the anatomy of a Why Not.
Obviously, they wouldn't... This isn't, like, ghost stories and stuff. They wouldn't make, like, a poop joke or whatever, but, like... And they probably didn't want to encourage kids to, like, eat.
No. No swallowing little metal things.
Yeah, please don't put stuff in your mouth. But, like, I was thinking that was going to be the case because they were mixed in with the fruit. So I just thought, like, Why Not was going to just happily start putting all the stuff in his mouth and, you know, whatever.
No, Why Not smarter than that?
It is true.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket have dressed up Ash as a king and take some glamour shots of him, and he's really into it.
Can we talk about James?
Okay, yeah, go for it.
I'm sorry, there's not much to say other than it was like Ash dressed up and he's doing different poses and James is in the background going, yeah, yeah, baby, working for me. I was like, are we still watching a children's show?
James got into that role really fast. He was ready.
He was born to be a photographer.
Unfortunately, Ash does not get his interview. They just got his pictures and leave. And Ash says, but I was all prepared to give an interview. And that triggers Jesse and James's compulsive tics to give the motto because he said the word prepare. If he had said the word trouble, we would have He did say trouble?
He did. He said both, actually.
Oh, what did he say?
He said, I was prepared to give you the answers and everything. And then they have the start of their attack. And they're like, oh my god, if he says one more word. And then he says... Are you sure? You went through all that trouble.
I missed that.
And then that's when they fucking lose it.
Okay, so he did say trouble. And the trouble begins. They get defeated and busted off, I think. I wasn't paying too much attention. They eventually find Wubba Fett, who realizes the box is missing. He refuses to say that he has failed at his task of carrying the box to the stump.
He didn't fail.
Well, true. True. He did do his job. But then he was negligent and let the box get taken.
I mean, to be fair, it wasn't like he was expecting that.
He should probably after watching that Why Nut eat all that shit. Sorry, I did That's it again.
True. Why Nut?
Why Nut? Wubba Fett has to draw out a picture of the Pokemon that's been stealing their shit, including the badges. He draws a crude drawing of a Why Nut's face.
It was a good drawing.
Oh yeah, it was a good drawing, but Team Rocket has never seen such a thing before. And Wubba Fett can just say it was blue. You would think Wubba Fett would know what a Why Not is, but I guess not.
I have a question really quick. Mm-hmm. So Meowth is the official Pokemon to English or human translator. But it seems that even Meowth was having a difficulty deciphering Wubba Fett's speech.
I think Wubba Fett was probably going a mile a minute.
Is that the case where it was just like incoherent for a second because it was like having difficulty and it was flustered? Or is Wobbuffet unique in that it's sort of the way it communicates is a little bit foreign even to Meowth? Like in terms of like Pokemon, like is his Pokemon dialect slightly different? Even Meowth finds it difficult to interpret? I don't know.
There are definitely instances where Meowth has difficulty interpreting. But I think generally, aren't they like kind of weird Pokemon, like legendaries or like,
yeah,
like mechanical Pokemon and stuff like that?
Different Pokemon, yeah.
I think generally he knows what Wobbuffet's saying.
Okay.
Because Wobbuffet's like his little like sidekick.
But Wobbuffet's kind of unique in the, you know, the whole running gag with like its cry or the way it talks is like an answer and a question. Like,
which I skipped over entirely.
There was a section or a little part where Why Not and Wobbuffet had a face-to-face in the bush. And they were like, why not? Wobbuffet. Wobbuffet. Why not? Like, they were going back and forth. And I was thinking of you.
Which, I think that's not even that funny. The question and answer are, is that, like, basically, is that true? It's true. Is that true? It's true. Is that right? That's right. That's what they're saying.
I mean, it's kind of cute.
Yeah. I guess it's for children. Whatever.
It obviously doesn't translate over very well, but I think in context, it's cute.
Anyway, Wobbuffet says that the Why Not is blue, so they decided to Wooper. So Team Rocket is off to find a Wooper.
A Wooper!
A Wooper!
We love a Wooper here.
We do love a Wooper here.
Podcast.
Okay, they actually find a Wooper very quickly.
Because there's a stream just right there.
There's that really long scene of Ash having flashbacks to winning all his gym battles and his saying, like, all his sentimentality reasons he wants those badges. And they're all like, that makes perfect sense, Ash. The episode must continue.
Whenever we have moments like this in an anime, like a kid's show or whatever, it's a very obvious recap of, like, in case you missed it. So he was like, when I fought Faulkner for the blah 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 badge, when I fought Bugsy for the blah 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 badge. And it's like, okay, God, we remember who you fought and what badge it was called. Like, just chill out.
Every time shit like that happens, I always think, okay, so they're saving the budget.
That it, yeah.
Little tricks like that.
Practical reasoning.
Anyway, Team Rocket finds their Wooper. The Wooper is happy, smiling, is jumping all around them as they try to catch it. That goes on for a while. Ash sends out Bayleaf and Noctowl to find Team Rocket, while Claire rides around on her Dragonair. Bayleaf and Noctowl find the Why Not almost immediately, actually. It is struggling to open the lockbox, but Bayleaf's like, don't worry, I gotcha. And so she uses her vines and not her opposable thumbs that don't exist to open the lockbox. They quickly realize, when Why Not pours out its contents all over the ground, the badges are in there. Holy shit.
What a coincidence.
Bayleaf kind of takes charge, and she tells Noctowl, go find Ash. I'm going to babysit this Why Not and make sure it doesn't eat those badges. So maybe it would have eaten them had Bayleaf not been supervising. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know why she just didn't gather them all up right then and there, but whatever.
Well, she did, because she got a big old leaf, and she takes the 8 badges and puts them on the leaf.
Better than nothing, I guess.
At that moment, the Wooper is not having fun anymore because it is in abject fear now. It jumps out of the bushes, terrified, as Team Rocket is pursuing it.
Oh my god, poor little Wooper.
Team Rocket comes out, they see all the badges on the leaf, and they're like, oh, look, the Wooper led us right to the badges. So Arbok and Weezing fight Bayleaf by herself for a little while, and nobody quite sees what happens. But a mysterious blue figure emerges from the bushes, uses a counterattack to save Bayleaf from a poison sting, and then is right back in the bushes. And everyone's like, what was that?
Nope. No human actually sees Why Not.
The only ones who see Why Not are Wobbuffet, Charla, Bayleaf, and Noctowl.
That was it.
Charla, why are you there?
Charla wasn't really comprehending what she was seeing anyway.
She also saw
Wooper. So does she really... Did she... I don't think Charla even counts, to be honest.
Charla doesn't have 2 brain cells to rub together. So she was just like, okay, something is there. Okay, bye.
Whatever.
Big dumb old lizard.
See you never, Charla.
I don't think we ever see Charla again, actually. I think she's done.
All of that was too stressful for her.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we ever see Charla again.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna look it up.
Ooh, go for it. Go on the Cerebi.net anime decks.
Anime decks?
Yeah. They have a listing of every time Charla's appeared.
Liza's Charizard appeared in Charizard's Burning Ambition, The Spell of the Unknown.
Charla made a movie appearance.
Yeah, she did. we see her in Great Balls of Fire, Better Eight Than Never, and then we don't see her again for hundreds more episodes until she reappears in 777, Flames of a Red Hot Reunion.
Oh, the flashback episode where they reanimate all the original series scenes. Oh, I know that one.
So technically, her, like, non-flashback, her last appearance was this.
Okay, good to know. I forgot about that one.
So really, you're right in that this is the last time we see her. I guess seeing Why Not was just too much.
Why Not's in the bushes, Ash catches up, and Claire is there, I guess. Team Rocket get away in the balloon. Bayleaf throws Ash through the air like a fastball special. That was really funny, if you know X-Men.
I'm sorry, I missed the joke. Ha 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 ha!
Do we have any X-Men listeners? If so, reach out, because I would love to talk to you. Team Rocket do a kind of funny thing where they have the balloon just speed up, so Ash misses it as he's flying through the air. Dragonair has to catch him, thankfully, because poor little Noctowl can't carry Ash.
Oh my god, he tried so hard. He tried to catch him, but he slipped right out of his grasp.
Sorry, Noctowl. It was never gonna work.
Could you imagine if this is how Ash died? Like, if he fell to his death?
I know Ash. Ash would fall to the ground, and he would just, like, harmlessly bump off the ground and be like, oh, okay, we're Team Rocket.
Right.
Pikachu is like, I'm getting involved now. Noctowl, you are my horse. You are going to fly me to victory. So Noctowl obliges. Pikachu blasts off Team Rocket. And the same thing happens every time we blast off Team Rocket. The thing that they stole is not blasted off, and it falls to the ground. The 8 badges delicately flutter to the ground, and everyone catches each of the 7 badges. 7 badges? What about the 8th badge? The Arising badge, the one that Claire gave to Ash 16 hours ago. What happened to that?
I know. Of all the badges not to have or, like, potentially have lost, I'm like, Ash, the person who gave it to you is standing feet away. Just have her get you another one.
They don't even bring that up. Claire's like, oh my god, you're so right. We gotta get those back. Where is it? We have to find it.
I know. She panics just like he does. I'm like, girl, don't you have like a desk drawer full of these fucking things? Like, can't you just go back and give him another one? It's not a big deal.
All this is set up for Why Not to appear from the bushes, give the Rising Badge to Bayleaf. Then it goes back in the bushes. And Bayleaf's like, look, Ash, we got the Rising Badge. And Ash weirdly asks, Bayleaf, did you find this all by yourself? Condescending little prick. Bayleaf is like, no, Ash, it was thanks to the Why Not, see? But the Why Not has mysteriously vanished.
It's not that mysterious.
So as Ash looks through the bushes for the Generation 3 Pokemon, Why Not has jumped onto a passing logging ship, because apparently they're next to a river now. And Why Not waves goodbye to Noctowl and Bayleaf. They wave goodbye to Why Not. I guess this might be the same Why Not we see soon, next week?
Oh, it comes back.
A Why Not is the next thing we're going to watch. I don't know if it's this one or not.
Well, do you remember if the Pokemon recognize it or...
Bayleaf and Noctowl do not appear.
So we don't know.
It could be the same one. Who knows?
Dang.
We'll never know. So he has the 8th badge now. Hooray. There's all sorts of bullshit about like, I wonder why you were in the bushes, Ash. But who cares? Ash calls up Professor Oak to tell him the good news. Apparently, he's already sent Snorlax back off camera at some point. And Claire leads them to a road at sunset, because the best time to leave a town is at sunset, when it will be dark within 20 minutes. That's the best time to go on the road.
She didn't want them to stay. She's like, get the fuck out of my house.
It's been 5 episodes. You stay with me way longer than any other gym leader. I'm tired of you. Go.
She's like, I fed you. I gave you food. My obligation is over. Goodbye.
She gives us another timeline, because Claire is really big about timelines. They're going to take this path. It's going to take them to the ocean. And once they hit the coastline, it's going to be a 1-day walk from there to New Barktown. Little does Claire know, the twerps are not going to be following her directions, because they have to stop off in Italy before they can get to New Barktown.
Claire, don't you know that we don't follow the path?
They don't heed her directions, but they wander off into the night. The end.
Goodbye, Claire.
Goodbye, Claire. For now.
We will see her again, I'm assuming.
Not for a long time, but yes.
So now we're into filler hell. Hope you're ready.
We are and we aren't.
That's so mysterious.
There's going to be a connective tissue, and you'll know it when you see it.
Thank you, Austin. Great summary.
Let's do the MVP, the LVP, and the quote. We each get to pick one of each, but we can't do any repeats. It was a lot more dynamic when we had three people, but who cares? Flipping the coin.
There's more choices now.
It fell on the floor again. Tails, that means you go first.
My MVP is going to be Wobbuffet.
Of course.
For being so cute, trying its best, and overall just being Wobbuffet. I really don't think I need an explanation. Oh, the fact that it could, like, draw in the dirt was, like, really impressive to me. Mm. Like, this is a Pokemon. I can, like, draw. Like, are we not impressed by this? I sure am. Damn. My LVP is going to be the Pokemon League.
Oh.
For not fucking coming into, like, the 21st century and being, I don't know, smart in any kind of capacity. Like, why haven't they moved to a computerized system where they just register the badge to the trainer card ID? Like, why is this whole we need a physical badge bullshit even, like, a problem? Aren't they, like, made of plastic? I feel like they're probably not even worth anything.
Remember, we're in Johto. We're in the backwoods still.
I don't know. I really think they need to, like, make some advancements in their system or some sort of small updates so this doesn't continue to happen. My quote is going to be... I have to say this because Josh made this joke and I thought it was funny. So it's when Ash is taking his photo shoot and they dress him up as a king in a robe and a crown and all that stuff. And Ash says, I look pretty good in this stuff, don't I? And James says, just like a king, only shorter. And Josh says, is that like the original short king joke?
Ah, that's kind of cute.
And I thought that was hilarious. And I wanted to shout out Josh because that was not my joke. I wasn't that clever.
My MVP is going to be Bayleaf because she had a kind of a take charge attitude. She did a whole bunch of good stuff. She threw Ash in the air without question. That was kind of funny. She instructed Noctowl what to do. She saved the gym badges herself from being eaten by the Why Not. She was very humble and thanking the Why Not, even though it tried to gaslight her. She was on top of her game. So good for Bayleaf. She's really developed a lot since we first met her. My LVP... I'm going to give my LVP to the Burger King for...
What?
I don't know, for not suing Ash for stealing his look.
The burger... Oh, my God. I was like, what are you talking about? Oh, the big red robe and the garish crown. Sure.
I don't know. Do you have anything better than that?
Was there not some kind of, like, Burger King Pokemon promotional tie-in going on at the time?
The famous Pokemon gold plated coin things. Remember those?
Oh, right!
Famously.
Oh, shit. God, I miss that kind of thing. Not that we need to incentivize our kids to eat, like, garbage food or whatever, but I
still But we are going to.
Yeah, we're going
to. The U.S. government certainly is doing so.
Anyway, I was going to say, as a kid, an impressionable youth, while this stuff was going on, I only see it through, like, the rose-tinted glasses of the time. Like, I miss the promotions where you actually got something out of your money, and it was, like, fun to go get, like, a Happy Meal or, like, a meal from Burger King or something. It actually made it fun to, like, go there. Now they don't do anything like that.
Someone texted me the other day saying Burger King, or no, it was McDonald's, had Mario Kart toys.
They still do that? I mean, is it a combination of, like, I think it's a combination of corporate greed. They just don't do the same kind of quality promotion or toys or whatever.
Happy Meal toys were always garbage.
Well,
they were garbage. That was the whole point.
The promotions nowadays are for, like, pop stars or, like, rappers and stuff. And it's like, okay, that's boring. Like, who wants...
Oh, you're talking about the Offset and Cardi B McDonald's meal. Remember that? That was recent.
Well, they all do stuff like that. It's either pop stars or YouTubers. And it's like, okay, get that shit out of my face. I don't really care about that. I mean, it's like not even fun. Like, you and I went to Taco Bell recently and they were doing a promotion I didn't even know they were doing. But it was like throwback to the 90s. We're like bringing back our little signature things from the 90s. Back when shit used to cost like 79, 89, 99 cents. And now it's like $6 for the same shit. And it's like, fuck you.
What'd you think of the Wendy's SpongeBob promotion that did recently? How do I know all these fast meal promotions? Oh my God.
I heard about the Wendy's SpongeBob thing, but I heard it was underwhelming and not great. And I did not participate and didn't go.
Oh, okay.
To get
you took you took a moral stance.
I did take a moral stance.
Is my LVP the Burger King?
I think your LVP should be... corporate greed.
My LVP is Burger King for giving me a migraine from their stupid Fruity Pebbles milkshake that one time.
Can you explain that? Because that was...
What is there to explain?
Hilarious, but, like, I feel bad for you.
It was during work hours, too. I don't know why I went to fucking Burger King. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway,
okay, so... No. We got to back up real quick. Austin's big thing is when there's something new, he wants to try something new. He says he'll try anything once and you got to give it a fair shake or whatever. It was the Cheeto mac and cheese fries.
Yes.
And the milkshake Fruit Loops milkshake thing.
Oh, it was Fruit Loops. That's right.
Wasn't it?
Okay, I think so.
And you said it tasted like chemicals.
And it gave me the worst migraine I think I've ever had. And I was like, I had to drive back to work and just like sit there.
And I remember you specifically texting me saying you felt like garbage and it was like the worst you've ever felt. And I was like, I wonder if it was from like, I feel like they spilled chemicals or something into the mix because you said it tasted really bad.
My body was like actively rejecting. I was like, it was like, what the hell is this?
Are you sure? We're not 100% sure that they didn't like spill some bleach or something in there. Who knows?
My quote.
Okay. Anyway.
I guess my quote will be, oh, a good one. It's when Wobbuffet does his, like, brilliant dirt art of the why not face. And James says, "Ee, it's my childhood nanny. What was she doing here?"
Oh, my God. Love that.
That's a weird random line that I love.
It's not the first time that James has, like, referenced that, right?
Didn't
he say something else to where he's, like, referencing somebody from his past? And he's having, like, flashbacks to it.
Has this nanny come up before?
I want to say it has. You guys, like, am I dreaming this? Because I feel like, I swear to God, this is not the first time. But it could be a false memory.
If you are familiar with James's dub-exclusive lines about his nanny, let us know.
Please let us know.
We don't remember.
I could almost swear, Austin, that he's mentioned that before.
I mean, if so, that's a funny running gag that I never caught before.
Damn, I wish I could remember.
All right. Anyway. That's it for that one.
We'll see if he does it again. Can I finally say we're done? We're done now with the Blackthorn and the Claire and the why nots.
We are done.
Finally.
With the Claire episodes. You know who didn't make an appearance was Kabu Ragi.
Oh, yeah. Did he, like, die? Like, what happened?
He was out of here. He was done.
Bye, Kabu Ragi. We'll see you never again.
Except we do see him again.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Remember, I was just on Bulbapedia while we were recording, and I'm like, oh, Kabu Ragi comes back. Okay.
I don't remember this. I swear to God.
That was two episodes ago, and you already don't remember.
This freaking anime, I swear, when you think things aren't going to come back up, they come back up. When you think, oh, there's no way that random character, throwaway character from like 700 episodes ago, and then he just pops back up like, oh, remember this guy?
Like, Pokemon the series is really weird like that, in that it has no continuity, but it actually has, like, really tight continuity at the same time. It's really weird.
It blows me away every time. I always act surprised, and genuinely, I don't think I ever, like, will get over it.
I honestly think it's as simple as when something relevant is going to come up, they go back and watch the pertinent old episodes. And then they just like, okay, well, that's how you draw the Blackthorn Gym. And so they just use that as the basis. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that anyone was sitting around thinking, how am I going to bring Kabu Ragi back? Like, they had to rewatch these episodes to be like, okay, so that guy is there. Got it.
Are we ready to move on? Just add water. The start of the filler. Somewhat.
I am doing the 30 seconds.
You are. Can you give us a succinct 30-second recap?
No, I cannot. Let's try anyway.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
So the twerps come across a synchronized swimming gym, okay? And Brock is, like, really excited. He's, like, really horny today because he's going to come in his pants watching these synchronized swimmers. Turns out the only synchronized swimmer is a male swimmer and his 3 Pokemon. So Brock is confused and dejected. But it turns out he knows Misty Sisters, and it's a whole thing where she is like, I'm just as good as my sisters, if not better. Then they fight off Team Rocket, and then she earns his respect, because that's what a girl has to do around a boy, is earn his respect. It's not automatically granted in any way.
God, I have things to say about this episode.
Go for it.
And you're gonna add your 2 cents to, you're gonna just add your water sense.
Oh.
Because I don't want to do all the talking either. So, we are on the road to New Barktown. And I guess it's the next day?
They've been walking all night. Ever since that sunset, they've just been walking.
Yeah, because like Austin mentioned, we did the odd thing where we don't leave in the morning, we leave in the nighttime. So they must have slept in the woods because Claire was fucking done with them. And I don't know why they didn't stay at the Pokemon, or maybe they did stay at the Pokemon Center that they called Professor Oak from.
Oh, true.
I don't know. Who cares?
Again, we have to bring up the idea that they're not actually leaving at the sunset. They're leaving at the break of dawn. But it sure as fuck looks like a sunset, and that's definitely the intention, so we have to assume it's the sunset.
You can always tell a sunset. It's always more, like, purpley and dusky. Okay, so they're on the road. They're headed to New Barktown. Claire was like, stick to the road, and then, you know, you'll come to the ocean or whatever. I guess they decide that they're gonna go into a random tunnel and take a chance on what kind of shenanigans they're going to get up to.
But the dirt road they were on led them into the tunnel, right?
Oh, so it wasn't like an option.
Right. I think they were like on a mountain path and they couldn't veer. They had to go in the tunnel.
Oh, okay. So this was like a planned tunnel.
Claire didn't mention that tunnel.
She did not. I was thinking like they just saw a random tunnel and they're like, let's go in it. And I'm like, guys, this isn't a good idea.
They have 3 months.
Well, honestly, I didn't remember this episode at all, so I thought they were going to get into some trouble in the cave, but it literally was like a cutaway. There was nothing.
No, they hate cave episodes. They almost are never in a cave. That hardly ever happens.
That's true. Except for that one time they were in the fucking ice cave.
And that didn't even get dubbed.
Nope. But fortunately, it has nothing to do with caves. They immediately are on the other side of the cave.
They were in the cave for as long as it took to go through the theme song.
Misty, for some reason, I don't even know why she even bothers, because they've reached the ocean and she's like, hey guys, come on out and like play in the water for like 5 seconds. Okay, enough of that. Let's move on. While they're on the beach, it's completely abandoned. There's not another soul in sight here. They see a sign for a random Pokemon synchronized swimming competition or performance. And so like Austin mentioned, Brock absolutely creams his pants over this, and he's like, we have to go. It's all I ever wanted is to see some hot babes in swimsuits all covered in water.
Smartphones don't exist yet. He can't look at that whenever he wants.
Is that a blessing or a curse for Brock?
I could consider that a blessing.
He doesn't have to harass people in real life, but then like porn addiction is real, so I'm not sure.
Well, doesn't porn addiction affect the way that you treat women in real life for straight guys?
I'm sure it does.
I know it affects sexual performance because they are trying to recreate things that are not based in reality.
Well, they absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And, all right, anyway.
Anyway, so Brock decides that he has to see this and they can spare an afternoon to fulfill his fantasy. So they go to this, it's kind of a cool construction. It's like they go over to this floating concrete stadium in the middle of the ocean. Like, it's pretty cool. There's like a boardwalk that goes to it, but like it's this floating stadium, but like there's also an underwater section to it. It's really neat.
It was a rare filler thing location that I thought should have been in the game.
That would have been really cool
just from the way it looks. Like, it's a cool concept.
I think they could pull it off better in modern gaming because they'd be able to like show off the underwater section better.
Yeah,
than they would have been able to do in like Gold and Silver.
You mean like little blue tiles on 8-bit Game Boy screen isn't blowing you away?
Not the highest fidelity thing, no. So we do get to see it in the anime, so that's cool. Brock is very sad that he cannot jerk it to the pretty girls in the swimsuits because it's literally, they're the only people in this entire place, and the show consists of a pair of legs and some Mantine and some other Pokemon, and Brock immediately sniffs out the difference in between girls and boys because he's like, wait, something's wrong. And it's a man's legs, not a woman's legs.
Brock. Ash and Misty are very supportive, though.
I know. Ash and Misty are like, he's really good, Brock. You should actually like watch him. And Brock is like pouting.
I wanted to see more of his one-man synchronized swimming with a lantern, a quillfish, and a Mantine. That sounds interesting. I want to watch that.
We don't even get to see his performance, and that was really disappointing. But I'm really glad that Ash and Misty were, like, supportive of the arts, and they were like, this is great! Yay! Because, Brock, women do not exist to fulfill a fantasy for you.
They're doing a performance. It's a athletic pursuit.
It's athletic. It's artistic.
Yes.
Yes. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is watching and spying on them from a nearby cliff. I love this part because we get another boss fantasy.
This is the prototypical boss fantasy.
This is the beginning of...
This is it. This is a turning point.
This is the turning point. I was waiting for us to get to this part where it was like truly, when we say boss fantasy trademark, like this is it. So Meowth imagines Giovanni waking up in the morning to go out into his, like, in his mansion, to go out into his pool, because he steps out of his bedroom right into, like, a pool. And he strips off his robe to reveal a chiseled body where he's in nothing but a skimpy black Speedo with his cheeks showing.
The tiniest little Speedo I've ever seen in real life or in animation.
It left nothing to the imagination. It was everything's out there.
What was Josh's reaction to this?
He was like, whoa, what the fuck? I was like, yeah, welcome to the boss fantasies, Josh. And James even comments on this, but I'll save it because it's actually my quote.
Okay.
And of course, Giovanni will lays around in his pool with his water Pokemon climbing all over him because why not, right?
Why not?
Why not? And that will be what Giovanni wants out of life. So they have to get these water Pokemon for him.
I don't think Meowth, other than, like, Giovanni's 18-pack and his, like, enormous pecs and biceps and his, like, bubble butt that his Speedo is accentuating, I don't think this is too inaccurate from Giovanni's day-to-day activities. Do you?
No, I guess not. I mean, like, what else does he do aside from, like, sit around in a dark room?
Like, he drinks, he snorts cocaine, and he, like, does rich people shit. And, like, doesn't really do much of anything but take calls from Team Rocket.
He does have the occasional call, but yeah, I think his majority of his day is, like,
sipping
you said,
Mai Tais
doing
by the pool. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder how much of this, like, body is, like, real underneath that garish orange suit of his.
Yeah, I don't think we ever actually see Giovanni in a state of,
like,
undress.
In real life?
No, I don't think we ever do.
Yeah.
I mean, Delia may have, but we never have.
Or is this all in Meowth's mind? Is he really, like, got a pudgy dad bod under there? We'll never know.
Sad.
I know.
We'll never know.
It's all we ever wanted to know out of the Pokemon anime. So after the show, the water show, the twerps meet the performer, Dorian, who happens to be both the star of the show and the leader of the so-called Coastline Gym. This is a private gym because apparently nobody knows about it and it's not popular. As he gives them the tour, Misty realizes that Dorian is actually familiar with her three older sisters. At this point, Dorian does not know who Misty is. So Misty is like, oh my gosh, have you ever been to the Cerulean Gym? And when you did go, did they mention a fourth sister? And this is the part I mentioned, like, I had thoughts on because I was like, this is fucking shit. He's like, oh yeah, I did go to the gym. And oh yeah, I do remember they mentioned something about a sister, but they said she was a fucking loser. And I was like, Daisy, Lily, and Violet are horrible.
Yeah, they are.
Didn't we have a whole conversation about this?
You hate them. That was like our second episode, and you were like, I hate them. Oh, third episode, sorry.
Am I not justified in feeling that way?
If you look at it from a real-world perspective, yeah, how old is Daisy? She's supposed to be, like, 18?
They're adults.
They're, like, college age, seemingly. And the fact that they treat their 10-year-old sister, like, it's abusive. Like, it is outright abusive.
They literally call her ugly. They call her worthless, a loser. They do nothing to help lift her up as the baby of the family. Like, I don't know what I'm sure we talked about this back then, like, what her parental situation was.
Or lack thereof.
It does not seem that they had a positive influence on her growing up. I think Misty's made a few comments about only getting hand-me-downs and things throughout her childhood. And the fact that her sisters are so vain and self-centered and self-absorbed that they continuously put down a child to make themselves feel better, it's absolutely abhorrent.
I really want to know how old they are. Daisy, Lily, and Violet.
Well, they have to be young 20s if they're college age.
I want canonical answers to their age.
I don't know if we'll get canonical answers, but...
Because maybe they're supposed to be, like, teenagers. Maybe they're, like, 15 to 18? I don't know.
They're old enough to know better.
Okay, fair enough.
And the fact that they completely damage Misty's self-esteem. Like, I feel like Misty's pretty well adjusted considering the trauma and abuse that she's apparently endured. And this guy's a jerk, too, for, like, saying that out loud. Like, the fact that he doesn't know Misty is the sister right away, still, he shouldn't be talking about a child like that to somebody else.
Well, he was so stupid because she was, like, prodding him. He was like, did they say anything about a younger fourth sister who wears suspenders and has a Togepi? And he was like, I think they said something about some loser girl.
I felt really bad for Misty. My heart broke for her all over again. I thought we were past that, but apparently not.
I have a theory about this episode.
Do you want to share it now or you want to wait?
I think this episode is setting up Misty's departure.
I actually had that feeling too.
this was our reminder to the child audience who probably didn't see those early episodes that Misty's from the Cerulean Gym. And here's her situation.
Yeah.
Here's who Misty is, goddammit. She's not just a Togepi holder in the background.
Yeah, I got that feeling too. And honestly, we'll get to the end. I have some thoughts in that same vein. But in the meantime, she's like, you know what? I'm more than what my sisters put me down. Like, I'm my own person. I've learned a lot. And I'm challenging you to a battle to prove that I'm not this loser. And he's like, okay, well, if you're so sure of yourself, let's have a true water Pokemon master type of battle. And we're going to do this completely underwater. Because that's what his gym's specialty is. Like, complete underwater battles.
Which is a cool concept.
Definitely a cool concept. He takes them down into this underwater or underground, quote unquote, part of his gym. Where it's completely, like, this room of glass, like, that shows the underwater battlefield on the outside. Because they're in the ocean. So I'm pretty sure, is it enclosed or is it open up to the ocean? I think it opens up to the ocean, right?
I couldn't tell from looking.
Well, the Magikarp sub is there, so I'm assuming it is open ocean.
Oh, okay.
It's a really cool arena. Team Rocket's got their Magikarp sub, and they see it floating by, being harassed by Dorian's Pokemon. And Misty recognizes it immediately. She's like, that's no Magikarp, that's Team Rocket. And I was like, fucking yes, Misty. We're not even going to beat around the bush with this.
Yeah, good on her for having a brain.
They immediately blast off Team Rocket. We don't have time for them this episode. This part is bullshit. Ash completely just jumps in out of nowhere, butts in on Misty's battle, and starts whining that he should battle Dorian first because Totodile needs a workout. And poor Misty's like, do I even have a choice?
First time for everything, huh, Ash? You want to train Totodile?
This was bullshit. I can't believe he was such a little prick.
This episode seemed like it was straight out of season one.
It really did.
Didn't it? It had that vibe.
But he gets what he deserves because after he successfully muscles in on Misty's battle, he sends out Totodile, who completely gets his ass handed to him by Lantern. I don't think Totodile even gets a single hit on Lantern, does it?
Nope. My notes specifically say Totodile doesn't land a single hit.
I guess the joke's on Ash because if he had simply observed Misty's battle first, he would have been potentially more successful after having observed the way an underwater battle would work, and maybe it would have informed his strategy a little bit. But instead, his cockiness and desire to be first in everything got him just what he deserved.
Season one, Ash.
Season one, Ash. And I like how Misty concedes, but like she makes that comment and she's like, I don't think I even have a choice because you get your way all the time. So Misty and Dorian start their 3-on-3 battle, and so it's Goldeen versus Quillfish to start. Goldeen puts on a little bit of a good showing, I would say.
By Goldeen standards, yes.
Any thoughts on Goldeen?
I like how it uses its tail as a shield. That was neat.
Oh yeah, it like spins its tail around to deflect pin missile.
Does Goldeen land a single hit? I don't think it does.
I don't think so, but it tries. It does a couple cool things. It does horn drill and stuff.
But it doesn't land.
I don't think it lands.
Oh, Goldeen.
It tries. Second up is Mantine versus Corsola. And Misty does manage to win that battle, and Dorian seems surprised that Corsola can use Recover, which, shocking.
They use Recover as, like, a magical thing, which it kind of is.
I can't remember the exact mechanics in the game, but I think it's up to, like, half or something.
I think so.
It restores a good amount of health. Before they can do their third battle, however, they are interrupted by a giant whirlpool and Team Rocket's giant crab machine. Psyduck is there. Poor Psyduck. It cannot swim, but it's so heroic and it tries valiantly to save Misty and protect her from harm, but it gets sucked into the whirlpool and gets put into like their little holding tank in the bottom of the crab.
I like how you got that completely backwards.
Oh, wait, no. Let me start over. Psyduck tries valiantly to save Misty, but it gets sucked into... It does not get sucked into the crab. Misty gets sucked into the crab in its stead.
Right. She gets valiantly sucked into the crab.
It tries to protect her, but then she pushes it out of the way to save it and gets sucked into the crab. Dorian also tries to save Misty, and it's like a chain reaction. They all get sucked into the crab. Why does it sound so dirty when I say that?
Sucked into the crab.
They sucked into the crab. Team Rocket tries some bondage on Dorian and Misty and ties them up. But they don't stick around for very long because the twerps apprehend them. Psyduck does some Psyducky stuff again and jumps in to confront Team Rocket, but gets bit on the head. And Misty leans into this kind of cleverly because she's like, Arbok, bite Psyduck's head harder. And you would think they would know by now.
Again, this is a total season one episode. Like, that's straight out of, like, an Orange Islands episode, right?
It did feel very Orange Islands. It absolutely did feel very Orange Islands.
Like, Psyduck hasn't done anything in, like, 3 years, basically.
When was the last time we actually saw Psyduck?
I don't remember the last time we saw Psyduck do anything substantial.
It's all been Politoed, unfortunately.
Yeah, Politoed had a very minimal role in this episode.
Actually, we only saw it one time. She didn't even bring it out to battle Dorian, and she didn't bring it out to, like, help with this situation. Because she knows how horrible Politoed is. After its confusion gets triggered, it blasts him off with a powerful psychic, and Dorian's like, wow, I didn't realize Psyduck was so cool. And then that's it. They say goodbye to him. And this is what I was talking about earlier when I thought this was going to be a moment where she's, like, struggling on whether or not to stay with him or not.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Why? You seem surprised.
Well, I know that you know that doesn't happen.
So. I know. Well, I know it doesn't happen because obviously she has to stay with Ash and see the league and stuff through. But, like, I wondered if she might have, like, a fleeting moment of...
Like a Danny.
Yeah, like a thought of, like, should I stay? Oh, I really want to stay. Or, like, something.
Tell me if you think I misinterpreted this. At the end of the episode, she was blushing hard talking to him.
Yeah, she was.
It seemed evident to me they were trying to convey she had a crush on him now.
He's, like, what, 18?
Yeah, he's, like, an adult guy, and she's, like, a girl. But I think the intention... Like, well, am I wrong? Were they not trying to hint at that?
I mean, what young girl doesn't have a crush on the older guy? Like,
on the older swimmer body guy?
Yeah. He does say that he thinks Lily is the most attractive of the sisters, though.
Right. I don't think he has any sort of feelings towards her.
No, not at all.
No.
We're not trying to say that at all. I think, or maybe it was just her being, like, blushing over the recognition that he was giving her because he was like, wow, Misty, you're more talented than I originally thought you were.
Oh, what high praise.
I mean, that's his own shortcomings and not thinking she was capable just because she's younger or whatever, but... I really wish that she had won definitively against him because I think they mentioned something to the effect of, like, it was kind of a draw because he won one battle and then she won the other one and they didn't finish the third match, technically.
And they were like, the episode's almost over. We don't have time for this. So let's call it a draw.
I wish that they would give Misty one definitive win. Mm. That would have been nice. Because she didn't win that, what was that, like, sea spirit?
FIFA World Cup?
Water cup, yeah, like she absolutely got dominated in that battle by what was the lady's name?
Trinity, I think.
Trinity, that's right.
Yeah, we thought she was pretty cool, actually. I remember thinking that.
Well, we did, and we also commented that there was no Misty had a snowball's chance in hell to win against these true adult people who were years ahead of her in experience.
I mean, I guess this episode is like acknowledging, like, wow, Misty, you really are all that in a bag of chips. In a bag of donut holes. Because he puts up a picture of him with Misty on his creepy little cork board he has of the Sensational Sisters.
God, who was that kid from the Pokemon Trainer School that used to take photographs?
Oh, shit. Joe. How do I remember all these fucking names? Christ.
Who was the girl?
Giselle.
Remember that, guys, when he had his freaky little candid camera and he was, like, taking little pictures to keep in his personal picture book?
Remember how in the Japanese version he had, like, a little, like, heart drawing that was, like, Giselle and Joe forever? And
it
was not in the English version.
What a blast from the past.
I'll say it a third time. Season one vibes all through this episode.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this episode before we do our roundup?
I liked it. Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm not saying it's a bad episode. I think...
Every time we focus on the twerps, instead of, like, random people, I like it.
It's almost like they're the main characters or something.
I know, for real.
Oh, my God. I like this one because it was a little bit more... The focus was smaller. It was a little bit more curated in the sense there's not, like you said, a lot going on. It was just the twerps and this one guy.
They didn't go to the annual synchronized swimming water Pokemon competition.
Thank God. Yeah, it's not like, oh my God, we have a problem with the day to solve and, like, all this wacky shit goes on, like...
Oh, do we wish Dorian luck in his quest to get this gym recognized as an official Johto gym?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
The twerps... Why not? The twerps
say... Sorry, that was unintentional.
The twerps say they're going to tell everyone at the Silver Conference about the Coastline Gym. Guess what does not happen?
They do not mention him at all.
Maybe they do and I don't remember, but I'd be surprised.
Does this guy ever come back?
Not to my knowledge.
You know, I was wondering, I had a thought to myself, like, when he leaves them down under the water and he's like, here's my underground, like, or underwater gym. I was like, who pays the bills? Who keeps the lights on?
Oh my god,
How is he running this place?
I was like, presumably he's modeled this place, his facility, off of the Cerulean gym, right?
Yes.
So presumably he's financing all this.
Where did he get the money?
He must be independently wealthy somehow.
Or does, like, anybody get to go to the Pokemon government and say, I need a loan? And they're like, okay.
But it's not an official gym. It's privately owned.
Is it, like, is there some kind of provisional grant or something that he gets? Like, I need to know the financials.
There's a whole backstory to this. And that's going to be your next fanfiction episode. Dorian, a story, a life story.
Dorian, a story.
Dorian, the Storian.
Dorian, the historian.
Yeah.
If I remember that, I'm going to try to find some sort of backstory I could prescribe to him and how he came into the money.
We never get very much downloads for the fanfiction episodes. That may not be happening for a long time.
You guys not a fan of the
fanfiction? No, they're not. I see your download numbers.
I liked our Halloween ones. I thought they were fun. Go back and listen to those because they're a good time all around.
Leave 5 stars so the Tucker Carlson podcast isn't beating us.
Oh my god. And for your own sanity, please don't go check it out. Like, it's not even worth it.
We need to report that shit to Apple. Okay.
All right. So, who is going first with our MVP, our LVP, and favorite quote?
Dragonite's going to tell us. Tails, you're going first.
Again?
Yep.
Wow. Dragonite favors me today. My MVP is going to be Misty, because this was her episode, and I think she did a good job. I think she didn't give Psyduck a whole lot of shit. She actually seemed to appreciate Psyduck, and it seems like Misty is growing as a person and a trainer. My LVP is going to be Ash for being a little asshole and jumping in on her battle for no reason. If he was smart, he would have sat out and observed her and been like, oh, okay, let me watch how this is done so I can inform my strategy and just not be a jerk to my friend who asked him first to battle. Like, what the fuck, Ash? Go sit back down. My quote is... Oh, the boss fantasy one I said I was going to save because it was so good. Meow says, the boss will awake after a good night's sleep, walk outside, and peel off his robe for a morning dip. And James responds, he is wearing swimming trunks, right?
Was James imagining him?
Jimmy.
Jimmy was imagining Meow imagining Giovanni naked?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the way...
So they're aware of the homoerotic nature of the boss fantasy. Jesse and James are...
At least,
but they are not aware they're on a G-rated cartoon.
James has towed the line many times when it comes to that kind of thing.
Leo Burnett and Poor Kids Are the Devil.
Yep. But no, the fact that, like you said, James was imagining Meowth's fantasy to have Giovanni naked. Like, the fact that he had to ask the question just...
Okay, but, like, Giovanni would be naked, though.
He fucking would be naked.
Of course he would. He's an adult man in his mega mansion. Of course he's naked in the pool.
Look, if we were not in a G-rated Pokemon, like, kids show, if this was any other, like, teenage or adult anime, he would totally... It would have been butt cheeks. There totally would have been butt cheeks.
Right.
Just saying.
All right. Anyway, I guess it's my turn. My MVP will be Psyduck, a rare Johto spotlight on Psyduck. It seems like his psychic powers are good as ever. Good for you, Psyduck. Also, he was really cute in his little pool floating on top of the pool while everyone else was like way down beneath.
Loved that.
Oh, we got to mention the fact that everyone has those standardized breather talking underwater devices.
The Star Wars breathing thingies.
Yeah, the magical things. Mm.
Yeah.
Those things, they can just do it all. My LVP.
How are they? Okay, I'm sorry to even ask this because it's not even worth thinking about really. But when they have those rebreather things in their mouth, they stick it in their mouth. You're holding it in your mouth with your lips. So your water does not get into your mouth. How are they forming words? Like, if I'm doing this with my lips and like holding it together, how are they talking?
I mean, there's also the fact that sound doesn't travel through water like that.
Yeah, and it's like perfectly crystal clear and not like garbled.
I'm going to assume they all had like a complex series of like they were all wearing scuba helmets of some sort, and they all had, like, microphones.
Okay, maybe we're being unfair, because this is a world where, like, technology is incredible. Pokeballs exist.
The bends do not exist, so water logic is just out the window.
Ash can bench press 1,000 pounds easily. Like, there's no logic.
My LVP is going to be in honor of Alex. I'm going to give it to the Sensational Sisters.
Oh, okay.
For telling Dorian about what a little worthless runt Misty is. I don't know when they said that. I don't know when in the timeline that happened. If it happened recently, that's, I guess, somewhat surprising, because I could have thought Misty would have gotten more of the respect by now. But, you know, siblings, it is what it is.
They still are as backstabby and horrible as ever.
My quote.
Thank you for doing that, because I should have dragged them more, but you did it for me.
My quote is going to be when Brock is fantasizing about all the, like, team of synchronized swimmers, female swimmers that he's imagining exist. I'll be one happy breeder.
No.
Okay, I'll get something else. Oh, come on. That was on purpose.
Well, yes, but gross. I'm surprised you didn't take the Jesse and James one at the end.
What was the Jesse and James one at the end? I didn't write that down.
Here, I'll give it to you.
I'm sorry that my quote's not good enough for you.
I didn't say that. You got to do whatever quote you want to do.
Oh, I don't have any others. Oh, this one was a stretch. I think you made a typo because he did not say this. James says, this crab contraption was a good one. And Jesse says, I just knew it would be a good idea to model our weaponry after my moods.
I did add the crabby thing.
Yep.
It made more sense to me that way, so that's how I'm imagining it.
All right, my quote's going to be the swimming trunks one. That's the winner.
Sure.
No sign.
Anything else to add, Austin?
Nah.
Add water to?
Let's douse those flames.
If not, what is on our menu next week?
Next one's a big one.
Oh?
Can you take a guess?
Next one's a big one.
I alluded to it before.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. If I paid attention to what you said.
Yeah, I'm used to that.
I know. Okay. Oh my God, give me a hint.
What did I say the twerps were going to be doing?
Fucking around?
Well, yes.
I don't know.
All right, I give up on you. next week, it's movie time.
Oh, it's a movie?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Can you believe it's already been 1 year of episodes?
Maybe I forget about the movies because, like, the movies don't happen anymore, like, currently, so.
I guess. Well, it doesn't matter because it's 2002 and it's movie time.
Oh, my God.
The movie is Pokemon Heroes.
Pokemon Heroes.
Composed of the Pikachu short, which is called Camp Pikachu. And the main feature, the full title is Pokemon Heroes Latios and Latias.
Oh.
We're going to Italy, y'all.
Oh, you said the Italy thing. I should have known.
Yep.
Wow.
Get ready for a trip to Venice.
Can't wait. It'll be so fun. Make sure you tune in.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it done in a week. It might be 2 weeks from now. Sorry in advance, if so.
Those are always bigger projects.
Yes, they are.
All right. Well, if that wraps it up, I think we can say thank you for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so at our email account. That is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. You can check out our new Blue Sky social media account at outofthedryingpan. Again, outofthedryingpan is our handle at Blue Sky. And we have an Instagram. I am going to be doing better at posting over there. That is out of the...
Bullshit.
Oh, are you sick or something? I don't know. Maybe you get a lozenge. Okay. Out of the Drying Pan. Also, Instagram is Out of the Drying Pan. If you like what we do and want to support us and help keep the lights on at our gym, just like Dorian keeps the lights on at his gym.
Hey, let's become an officially recognized podcast.
Official. You can always check us out at our Patreon. The link is in our description. We have all kinds of cool things over there to whet your appetite. We've got bonus content, extra stuff, notes, and we also want to just say once again, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope to see you next week as the journey continues.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.